I mean that. Daryl, you look good. You look good. I gotta look out there. You looking really? Mike, you look good. Mike, yeah, you that's got your head cocked in a blue shirt. But you don't believe I'm talking to you right now on a Sunday morning at 10:34. You can crack a smile. There you go. Let it be that way. Terry Peters, you look good. You're looking younger. What are you doing anyways? Are you drinking or eating something that you're holding back on all of us? Because you're looking so good. Art? Yeah, you got to work out a little bit. Anyways, no, I'm choking Art. I love Art. Amen. Come on. Let's have some fun today, all right? I have had just an amazing week with so many different things that are happening. I just was thinking about this. And by the way, I know Todd and Cheryl are out running somewhere this morning, right? They're in some K race. I don't know what it is that crosses. But you know, how many of you remember several months back when I was praying like I did this morning and I said somebody is going to experience a 30% raise in their household? Does anybody remember me saying that? Do you know that they came to me not long ago and they said, God not only gave us a 30%, he gave us a 50% increase. So when you hear those kind of prayers, don't just say, yeah, that can't be me. In fact, it was funny. I got a text from Kathy that works for me. She goes, I'm believing. I got this right while I'm standing up here. Come to my iPad. She said, I'm believing God for a raise. And I said, amen. The reality was I just gave her a good raise. And let me tell you something else about her that I replied to her text. I said, if I gave you something, you wouldn't take it anyways. She is the hardest person sometimes to bless. I just hope somebody walks up to you, Kathy, this morning, wherever. Are you back there? Are you hiding out now? Just somebody give her some money this morning. Bless her, okay? And make her take it, all right? I got a letter this past week from the Social Security Administration saying that I had an overpayment. This is such an incredible story, and I don't even know why I'm telling you, but it's so incredible I just want to tell you. I thought it was spam. I was going to throw it away. So I went down to the Social Security office, which I've never been in. I take the number and I fill out all the stuff. And I go up to the lady calls me and I go up to the window. I said, I got this letter. And I didn't know really what to do. She takes the letter and she looks at it. She goes, Now, how many of you know, when you hear somebody, she not only once, she twice. Then she said to me, I have to get a supervisor. At that moment, I had to make a decision. I'm either going to run out the door or I'm going to stand there and deal with it. She comes back. Well, she said, you're not going to believe this. But she said, your dad evidently died while you were a minor, right? I go, yes. Well, the Social Security Administration took money from you pertaining to something about your dad 49 years ago. I'm standing there saying, in my mind, in my face, I'm saying, oh, in my mind, I'm saying, pay me now, baby. She says, there is a refund that you are to get. It's not a lot, but it's a refund. I said, okay. She said, call this number. So I called the number. The lady says, yes, you have a refund, but the negative point here is that you owe money from 1972. I'm like, She said, your dad died, but you boys, you had a brother. Yes. And you worked. Yes. And you made too much money. I said, nobody's ever told me that yet. You're supposed to pay back $600 or $700. And that money, somebody was paying it back, but then it stopped. I said, it would probably have been my mother, and she died. Oh, well, we have this money to give to you, but you still have to pay this money off. So we can send you the check, but you're still going to have to pay this money back. I said, hey, how about if you just keep it and we call it even? She said, well, you can do that if you want to. I said, thank you so much for telling me that you owed me money, not really, from 49 years ago. Now, I don't know why I told you that story, but that is an incredible story. I thought I was going to come in here today and tell you that my dad overpaid and I was getting money back 50 years ago that he overpaid. However, here's the truth of the matter, that I don't look to another. I don't anticipate something like that happening. But God is a God that will drop things into your hands unbeknown to you. But greater than that is, you know what I'm finding out the older that I get? That God blesses you when you move in that direction and you trust Him with your life, in your giving, in your labor, in your work. Like, don't show up to work late and expect to get a raise. And when I say that, Kathy is never late. I don't want you to think I'm saying that. She's never late. But don't show up to work late and think, why don't I ever get a raise? Show up early. Work hard and watch and see what God will do. He will bless your efforts right now this week. Amen? Okay. Somebody just needed to hear that today. Lord, I just want to say thank you for your grace and your love today. I pray that you'll take the next few moments and, God, use your words to transform lives for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I want to talk to you this morning. Before I do, I want to remind you, Bruce and Peggy are in the back this morning for the missions. If you want to be a part of that, it's a great time. That's this coming Friday, and they cook like it'll be a five-star meal, and you get to hang out with some people that you'll love. And also, if you need any help with signing up for the Kevin Lehman dinner, that's for married couples and those who are engaged. Erin will be in the back, and she'll help you do that this morning. Nobody's going to ask you any questions that make you uncomfortable at any of these things. This is the time to get together and to grow in relationship, okay? Everybody said amen. And next Sunday, can you believe it? It's Mom's Day already, and we do some special things for Mother's Day. So if you know moms, we take pictures, we give things away. It'll be a great Sunday for everyone. I want to just talk to you for a few minutes this morning, something that has been made real to me over the last few months and few weeks, and I've just been really pondering it, and that is what is looked at as a social persona that people project. That word persona is it's a facade presented to satisfy the demands of a situation or an environment, not really representing the inner personality of the individual. One other description of persona is the mechanism that conceals a person's true thoughts and feelings. Here's a quote I read that I loved. We are all so accustomed to disguising ourselves to others that in the end, we become disguised to ourselves. That just caught my attention. And I think about this so much, in particular with people that I'm dealing with on a regular basis and sometimes in social media, that people project to what they want you to think they are or what they're like. And it may not be anything to do with who they really are. And at all the time, you and I are trying to figure out who somebody is, but we really never get to know them because sometimes humanity has this propensity to project a persona of who we really are. It's a mask. It's covering up things that we really are not even about. I've been talking to this individual, been helping him for a while, and he doesn't live around here. He's not from near here, so don't think I'm talking about you or anybody else. And he sends me a text on Tuesday, and I know this individual is going through. And I don't hold people or pigeonhole them when they're going through things. But be who you are. Don't always try to be something that you are not or something that you want somebody to think you are. Be you, because God has created you and has made a plan for you to live and to walk in that is amazing. That when you begin to figure out what that is and you begin to walk in it, you won't want to project anything else. You will want to be who God has made you to be. Amen. And this person, I know things and about them, and they send me a text on Tuesday morning when I'm in prayer, and they said, pray for me that I don't get an uneven tan while I'm here tanning. And I'm thinking, you arrogant? And I won't tell you the rest of the things that I thought went through my life, my mind. A persona projecting something and disguising who we really are to others. That doesn't mean that, okay, if we're hurting that we can't laugh and have fun, but listen, be the real you. Let God create in you what he has called you to be. And sometimes we become so confused with the persona in individuals that we're not sure who we're even talked to, who we're talking to, and sometimes we get confused of who we really are. Because we're always wanting to be something else that we're not. And sometimes it takes some time in our lives to discover who we really are. Sometimes it takes us to be exposed to God's plan and his purpose for us to really figure out who we are. And there's nothing wrong with that. You need to be. That's why we come together like we do. That's why we listen and hear the Word of God, because it lays out this pathway that we begin to walk in and we begin to discover, hey, this is who I am. Hey, this is who I have been called to be. I once thought I was this, but now I know who I am. And all the time, God is telling us, you and I, that we have this incredible plan that he has made available to our lives, that we need to embrace it and become it. John 1:12 says, all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. You are, if you've made Christ the Lord of your life, he's given you the right to be a part of the family of God. You are different than you used to be. When you accepted Christ into your life, you were born by these parents, but now there's a shift in your bloodline. The Bible says you've been grafted into the vine, the true life of Jesus Christ, and you are children of God. You have the right to be called a child of God today. In Ephesians 1:5, it says, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I love this. He said, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. Man, that is amazing right there. Every time I read that, I think about even all the trouble and the junk and the stuff that I went to. God says, I was there. He was there when I was being formed in my mother's womb. He set me apart. He laid his hand on me. He blessed me. And he created this path, this place for me to walk in. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're God's special possession that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Come on today. And he called you into beautiful and wonderful light. That's who God has called you to be. The Bible says in 1 John 3:1-2, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. And the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children right now. Everybody say right now. Come on, say it. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And I used to think that I'm only going to be more like him when I get to heaven someday and I see him. But we become like him either by his coming for us or us coming to him. When we come to him, we have this experience with him, and he begins to transform our lives, and he changes us, and he molds us into his own image and into his own likeness. And the Bible speaks of God's great plan for our life out of Romans 8:29, for who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that we may be the firstborn among many brethren. When you know him, he begins to conform and transform and make you into his image and into his very likeness. And I want to live this kind of life. I don't want to be a persona of something that I am not. I don't want to just project to you when everything is great and when I'm doing good. I want you to see my wounds. I want you to know when I'm hurting. I want you to see when I've messed up, when I'm bleeding. I want the world to understand that if God be for me, even though failure may come, heartache may come, trouble may come, God is for me, and he will bless my life, and he will use me no matter what anybody says, thinks, or does about me. And I'll please God in that, and I'll be what he wants me to be. And the only way that you can know what that is to be around him and to be exposed to him. And just a few thoughts about being like him and living the life he's called you to live. Number one, you have to learn to examine your thought life. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks, so is he. Hear me on this now. Our thinking is pivotal to so much of our life. Your predominant thoughts, they will influence your behavior and your attitude and control your actions and reactions. As your thoughts are, so shall your life be. If you think you can't, you won't. Amen. If you continually think how bad you are and how bad you've got it, guess what will happen to you? You will go and continually eat worms. That was supposed to be funny. I guess that wasn't a funny place for me to put that into, though. Psychologists describe this, and I've talked about it, this cognitive behavior that the events in our lives, they lead to thoughts, and thoughts lead to feelings, and feelings lead to behavior, and behavior always has an action or a reaction to it. Some of you, the way you're thinking today are leading you to feel a particular way, and then your feelings are going to lead to a behavior which will lead to an action or to a reaction in your life. And it's not necessarily the event itself that determines how you feel and behave. It's how you perceive and how you allow those thoughts to dictate to you the future that you will live. And the Bible says it this way. Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 2, not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by allowing your mind to be renewed, that you can prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Listen to me today. You may have people that think great thoughts of you, and you may have people that don't think good of you at all. But it's what you think about you and what God thinks about you that makes you into who God wants you to be today. Amen. Come on, if you're going to clap, clap for Jesus today. Because God's thoughts are constant to you and I. Jeremiah 29, he says, God says, I know thoughts that I have for you. He says, I got good thoughts about you. Did you know that? Did you know that today? God's got good thoughts for you. He goes on to say, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a future, plans to give you hope. But you got to guard those thoughts. Proverbs 4:23, he says, keep your heart, for out of it comes the issues of life. Who you're going to become will be dictated on the beginnings of how you think. Some people say, well, I have trouble with that. I can't think. My mind is all jacked up. No, if you give your life to Christ, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, you and I have the mind of Christ. You have the ability in you to think thoughts of God's thoughts and the things that he has for you. And you know His Word. And when His Word becomes a part of your life, you begin to talk about you like He talks about you. And then you have to, your thoughts will always transition into the way you talk. You have to examine how you talk, examine your speech. Because if you think about something long enough, you're going to begin to say it. And the words that you speak from your mouth, they will shape the destiny of your life. Researchers say that the average person carries on 30 conversations a day, and that doesn't include texting. The average person spends 13 years of their life talking, and I know some that they're going to double that for sure. Words begin to shape the direction of your life. You don't have to be like somebody else. You need to, when your thoughts connect with God and your words connect with God, God begins to show you the life that He has created and called you to live. Gary Chapman, in his book, Love is the Way of Life, says that words can either be bullets or they can be seeds. What are your words like today? The power of speech was also introduced in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, where God said no less than 10 times, He said, God said, God said, God said, God said. And then in the verse 31, the last thing that He says in that, it says, and then God saw. Do you know that when you say something long enough, when you speak it long enough, that you will begin to see it come to pass in your life? Come on, you need to listen to this. I'm telling you the truth today to help you to be who God has called and created you to be. Jesus says in Matthew 12, 34, he speaks to the religious people. He says, you're brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He goes on to say, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth what is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart will bring forth what is evil. But I say to you, listen, every idle word that men speak, they will give an account for in the judgment day. And then this is what I want you to zero in on. Verse 37, he says, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What is coming out of your mouth? What is your thought life telling your mouth to say? Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power, not of somebody else's tongue, out of your tongue. You can speak life into your home. You can speak life into your situation. You can speak life into your future. You can speak life over things that seem to be dead and see dead things come to life. Proverbs 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, God. Let my words be right. And if you can't handle it, and you need some help in this area, listen to what the writer in Proverbs 30:32, he says, if you've been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you've devised evil, put a hand over your mouth. Shut your mouth. Quit talking so much. You know, you might have the right to say something, but does it produce the life and the fruit that you desire to come about in your life? I prayed over my kids every day of their life when they were little. I'd lay my hands on them when they were in the crib. When they were sleeping, I'd say, God bless them. God use them. Protect them. God do great things. I prayed prayers of blessing over them. I spoke into their lives before they knew anything would happen. I spoke into existence the future that they would walk in and they would live in. I spoke that they would marry great women. I got to keep on speaking. I got one more to do that yet. Dear Jesus, help me, Lord. He's on a plane somewhere this morning, so I can tease about him now. But you got to speak the right things. You got to let them come out of your mouth. And if you're in here fighting and you came in arguing with your spouse or in your family, you know, it's always funny, people that come to church, they're yelling at one another on the way in. It's funny. I drive in sometimes, I see somebody, they're yelling at one another, and then they came in. Praise the Lord, Pastor. It's so nice to see you today. And that's okay. Begin somewhere. Start to say good things. But if you got in an argument with your spouse or with one of your kids or a friend today, just look at them, smile big, and say, I love you. Let it begin now. And then you got to examine also, if you're going to live the life that God has called you to live, you got to examine the decisions that you make in your life. And you may have made some pretty jacked up ones right up until now. The best thing about God is that you can start today, make the choice that will yield great fruit in your future and in your life. Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20, God said today, and I love how the New Living says, today I have given you the choice between life and death. God gives you and I this choice between blessing and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Did you catch that? That God, he's sitting in heaven and he's calling heaven and earth. He's calling all the resources together, not only to take note of what you think, of what you say, and now of the choices that you make. This is powerful. He says that you may choose life. He gives you a hint here. Choose life so that not only you, but your descendants, your children, can also live. Verse 20, and you can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. You may be here today. You may have made bad choices right up till this morning, but you can change that right now. You don't have to be defined by what you did yesterday. I love the song that we sang this morning. All my yesterday, all my failures, all that junk is gone. You can start brand new right now. Come on today. Are you listening to me? Some of you need to do that. You need to make that decision right now. You need to begin to make the choices that are better. God is for you. He wants to help you. And I'm going to tell you, if you're here today, which leads me to the next place, you got to examine your posse. If you're around a bunch of people that keep on telling you, you'll never amount to nothing, you'll always be this way, you'll never achieve anything, you'll never have anything, you'll never do anything, you need to get a new posse in your life. Some people get scared because they've had negative experiences in their life that have hurt them, that have pulled them down. So they just say things like, I don't want to be around anybody. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want any friends. I don't want anybody in my life. And nothing could be more harmful to you and I to live a life alone. God has made you to be in community. He has made you to be with great people. He has made you to connect with a people that will push you into the best that God has planned for your life. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for the labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he'll have no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. My brothers and sisters, today you need great people in your life. You need to make sure you're around great people. Listen, come, if you don't know people, come to the missions dinner on Friday night. If you don't have the money and you want to come, come see me. I'll get you the ticket. Come to that. If you're married and your lives are rocky, come to the Lehman dinner. You need to do that. Men, listen to me. Bring your wife to that. You don't have any. You know, and don't come and tell me, well, it's too expensive, because you'll go to McDonald's and pay almost as much as you will to have a gourmet meal together with your loved one that night. Thank you, Wayne, for that one amen right there. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. You can be on top of the world this moment. You hang around with the wrong crew, guess what's going to happen? They're going to pull you into a knothole, and it's going to be hard for you to come out. If you're going to be who God has called you to be, if you can take the mask out of your life and live the way he's called you to live, you got to have the right people in your life. And then last, you got to examine your love life. Quiet in here right now. This is agape love. This isn't a sensual or a selfish kind of love. I'm talking about a love that you love others that you don't know, and that you also love others that have done wrong to you. Oh, I knew I'd get so many amens on that. 1 Corinthians 13 says, among everything, the greatest is love. Jesus says in Luke 6:35, you love this. This would be one of these verses that you'll put up on your refrigerator. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. You see, eros loves says, there's five Greek words that describe love. One of them is eros. It means I'll do for you, but you got to do for me. It's a passionate kind of love. The phileo love is the love, well, hey, we're friends, so, you know, I'm just going to do this for you. But that's not the kind of love that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about an agape love that it's not just loving somebody that you don't know. It's a step beyond that. It's loving somebody who has hurt your feelings, who has hurt your life. And God says that if you and I are going to live the kind of life that He has called you to live, you got to get this down in your life. You can ignore it. You'll leave here today and some of you say, well, yeah, I heard that. But He doesn't know what happened to me. You're right. But I'll tell you who does know. His name is Jesus. And He loved you while you were His. The Bible says you and I were His enemy. He still loved you and I. And this is the kind of love that He wants you and I to have. I'm not talking about opening up your life to let somebody hurt you again. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about you letting that offense go. And you can face that person. You can see that person. And it doesn't have an effect on you anymore because God has cleansed your heart and your life of the pain that it represents. And you can love like it really is going to change the world. Listen. He said, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward, what? It'll be great. You'll be the sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and even to the evil. If you want to bother me, be ungrateful. That's something that just, I can't, and I can sniff it a mile away. I just don't like it. But God said, if I'm going to live the life that He has called and created me to live, then I'm going to have to get over that. And I'm going to have to show love to people that are ungrateful, to people. Another thing that I can smell it a mile away. I can tell when somebody's trying to take advantage of me. But let me tell you something. If you're going to allow God to use you in a great way, you're going to have to be that person once in a while that gets walked on, gets taken advantage, gets talked about. Am I talking to anybody in here? Are you with me on that this morning? No, listen, I'm not saying, oh, you just need to get up every morning and say, somebody just do me dirty today. Jesus, I want to show your love to them. That's not what I'm talking about. If you live long enough, that's going to happen to you. 1 Peter 3, 8-9 says, finally, and this is the end for me here too. Well, just for this message, not the end. The end. He said, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another. Here's the attributes to live the life that Christ has called you and I to live. Right here. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Don't repay evil with evil. Or insult with insult. Man, I could talk about that. On the contrary, when somebody insults you, let's look at him and say, bless you. God bless you. I'm not joking right now. I know this sounds crazy and funny. And I know as I'm standing here saying this to you today, I'm going to get tested on this week. Repay evil with a blessing because why? You were called. You are called. not only to inherit the blessing, but you're a blessing machine. If God is living inside of you, you have been created to be a blessing. You don't have to be anything to anybody else. You don't have to put on a show. You know, I love it when people, hey, I know what going to the gym is, sweating my brains out, feeling like I'm going to die. Somebody saying, get going. I know what it's like. And then people take, they'll go to the gym, they'll take this one picture with all this weight behind them, like, here I am. One time a year. Persona. God wants you to get in the spiritual gym and start working out some love muscles, start working out some thought, some speech, some decisions, get around the right people, and watch your life open up to be everything that He has called and created you to be. Come on, if you're going to clap, clap for Him this morning. Close your eyes right now. Right now. Some of you, you're feeling this. Prayer, those of you who are going to pray with me, come on down here right now. Prayer people, make your way to the front. Some of you are here right now. If you've never given your life to Christ, you need to do that, because you'll never discover who you really are until you give your life to Him. When you give your life to Him, He begins to open up doors in your life and show you things that you never knew. Just ask Him to come into your heart right now. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. For some of you, you've been weighted down with poor decisions. This just came to me. You're reading and you're looking at things. Debbie, hold just for one moment, because I felt the Lord just prompt me to say this. Some of you, you're looking at things that creates a negative thought life. And I feel the Lord telling me to tell you today, put it away. Get rid of it. Lay it down, because He's got something beautiful for your life. Amen. Debbie, go ahead again. Thank you. I'm going to pray for you then. If any of those things you need help with, I want you to come down to the front. Father, just close your eyes. Just pray with me this morning. Father, I just want to say thank you for your love, for your grace. There's someone here this morning. I just felt that nudge from the Lord. Your thought life, you've been contemplating taking your own life. The Lord's going to help you with that. One of the reasons that keeps on rolling over and over in your mind is because you've never discovered the life that He has for you. And if you'll trust Him today, He will show you things. He wants to help you with that. Some of you, your mouth, your speech, you're negative, you're harmful. The words that come out of your mouth, they're crushing. Decisions that some of you have made, some of you are even planning on making them. The Lord says, I'm not in them. If you'll change it, I'll show you great and mighty things you know not of. Some of you are just hanging around with the wrong people that are harming you and taking you places you know better. Then for some of you, you've been struggling in this area. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe you've been just marginalized by someone. God's calling you to come up higher and to love like He is loved. Father, I just thank you for everyone that is here. I pray your hand upon their lives. I pray that you will do great and mighty things in and through them. I pray that for everyone listening right now, that we won't have to live under some false persona, but we can live the life that you have individually called us to live. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You know, I'm just thinking about so many people, so many different situations. You're trying to be something, or maybe it's just come into your life. You don't have to be that. God wants to give you brand new life. I love you. Go in His grace today. If you need prayer, you come down. Let these folks pray with you and over you this morning, okay? I love you so much. If you need help signing up for Kevin Lehman, Aaron will be in the back. I think Bruce and Peggy will also be back there to help you with tickets for this Friday night. I love you. Go in God's grace today.